All right, I have another confession today. During the holiday season, my wife and I watch Hallmark movies. Here's my confession. We were watching one the other day, and we always record them ahead of time so we don't have to watch commercials, and then you can fast forward through the commercials, right? And it got almost to the end, you know, the interesting part, and it stopped and said, because of a power failure, it was unable to finish recording the movie. So, but those of you that know Hallmark movies, what does it matter? We know how they all end, right? Makes no difference at all. You don't worry about it. We know how it ends. When we think about our world and everything that's going on in our world, we don't worry about it either because we know how it ends. Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. He's coming back someday. You know, in the passages we've been looking at in Luke, he's been talking about warning that his followers about the danger of hypocrisy, about the danger of greed, about the danger of worry. And now he talks about his return to earth. And could it be that being ready for his return is an antidote for hypocrisy, greed, and worry? Looking forward to the return of Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12 as we look in the scripture today. Luke 12, verse 35 is where we're beginning. Stand to honor God's word today, if you would. It says, be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds him watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And the Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant when the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose a servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming, and then he begins to beat his men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And for the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Lord, thank you for your word. And we pray today, Father, that you'll speak to us through your word. We commit this time to you and want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So it's pretty clear what Jesus is talking about in this passage. We must be ready for Christ's return to earth. We must be ready for Christ's return to earth. And I had trouble first service with this clicker doing this, and I'm having trouble. There it goes. For some reason, it doesn't want to work very well. We just have to be ready. That's Jesus' message. You know, Jesus came once, the first advent, when he was born in Bethlehem. There were hundreds of prophecies that predicted his first coming, and they all came true. There's also hundreds of prophecies that predict his second coming. And just like all the first ones came true, all these are going to come true. Christ is going to return, and we must be ready for it. Do you know that the return of Christ to earth is mentioned 318 times in the New Testament? Every book in the New Testament, except Galatians and 2 and 3 John, mention the return of Christ to earth. So we need to be ready. What must we do to be ready? Jesus uses an illustration here of a Jewish wedding party, where the bride and the groom are out getting married and they're going to come back to the home, and the servants need to be ready. Whenever the celebration is done and they come home, the servants need to be dressed, ready to serve them, the lamps lit to welcome them home. Even if it's early or late or really late, They need to be ready and waiting to serve. Jesus used that illustration to point out to us that we need to be ready when Christ returns. So what do we do to be ready? Well, first, we know Christ, Jesus Christ is our Savior. There's no way you're ready for Christ's return if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's fundamental. If you had sinned, and all of us have sinned, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he is your Savior, you confess him as Lord, he will forgive you, and you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you can be ready for his return. You see, there won't be any warning when he comes. He's not going to say, you know, world, in 10 minutes, I'm coming down. There's no warning. This is the only warning we get. We don't know when he's coming. We need to be ready. And we're ready as we know him as our Savior. As we wait, we live as faithful servants of Christ. In this story, the servants were told to be dressed and ready for service. The master's coming, you need to be ready. So we need to be ready. And one of the ways that we're ready is by serving Christ. We don't just sell our possessions and go up on some mountaintop like some people have tried and wait for Jesus to come back. They were sorely disappointed. He didn't come back when they thought. We need to keep serving God, keep living our life, doing what God calls us to do. Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, wrote this in one of his letters. He said, since everything will be destroyed in this way, it's talking about the end of time, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Holy and godly lives. We need to live lives where we're ready for Christ's return. St. Francis of Assisi one time was working, gardening, hoeing his garden, and someone came up to him and said, if you knew Jesus Christ was coming back tomorrow, what would you do? And he said, I'd finish hoeing my garden. Because he was ready. He didn't need to go do anything to get ready. He's living ready. And so we need to live ready. During one of his expeditions to the Antarctic, Sir Ernest Shackleton left some of his men on Elephant Island. He did this with the intent of returning to them soon. But when he got ready to go back, he was delayed because the ice had formed on the sea. He tried three times unsuccessfully to get to the island to pick up his men. On the fourth try, he found a way to bust through a channel and get to the island. When he got there, much to his surprise, he found all the crewmen with all their stuff packed up standing waiting for him. They loaded in the ship and sailed off. He said, how in the world did you know I was coming today? And the boss man said, well, we knew you were coming. You said you were going to come. So every morning, we got up, packed our gear, and went out and waited for you. I said, get your things ready, boys. The boss may come today. They were ready every day for him to return. We need to live that way, ready for Christ to return. We also should look forward to Christ's return. Is there anybody here that's looking forward to Christ's return? Man, there's so many more people in this service looking forward to it than first service. I'm worried about the first service people. Maybe they were sleeping at that point. You know, it's interesting, we go through so many things in our world, and you know, because of all the chaos that's happened in our country lately and all the stuff that's been going on, I've heard a lot of people say, boy, now would be a good time for Christ to come back. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, when we're ready to escape, come, Lord Jesus. And yet I've heard younger people say, Lord, not yet. I have things I want to do. I want maybe get married and have kids and have a family, and I got plans. No, Lord, don't come yet. Have you ever heard that? Well, let me just tell you, when Christ Jesus comes back to this earth, for followers of Jesus, it will be the most exciting moment of your lives. Everything else that you look forward to, everything else that you dream about will pale in comparison to when Christ comes back. It'll be worth everything, more than you can imagine. So we should look forward to Christ's return. We don't know when he's going to come. We should look forward to it. Paul, writing to the church in Philippians, says our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what has Jesus promised to us? Well, a couple things. He says he will return to earth. If you notice in the scripture, everything Jesus said came true. Everything. He said demons to leave a person, they left. Someone to be healed, they were healed. you know, the storm to be stilled. It was stilled. Everything he said came true. When he says he's going to come back, he's going to come back. He said these words in Matthew 26. I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. After the disciples saw Jesus ascend up into heaven after his resurrection from the dead, angels appeared, and they said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you up to heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus Christ is coming back. History will not continue as it is indefinitely. There is an end coming and a new beginning in Christ when he returns to this earth. This time he won't come humbly like he did the first time as a little tiny baby in Bethlehem. This time he will be coming as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the mighty, invincible, triumphant conqueror. He will come to rule. He will also come at an unexpected time. Unexpected time. Jesus makes it very clear. No one knows. You know, there's been many books written over time about when Jesus is going to come. I thought it was interesting. I Googled it and looked at all the... There's pages and pages and pages of people throughout human history who've predicted when Jesus is going to come back. Clear back to the first century and on, predictions after predictions. And you know what? You know what the percentage of them being right is? Zero. Every single one of them were wrong because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. He says we do not know. Peter says the day of the Lord will come like a thief. We don't know when he's coming back. We just need to live ready lives. Here's an amazing thing. In the Lord, in the story that he tells here, says that when he comes, the master comes back after the wedding celebration, says he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. That's a pretty amazing turnaround, isn't it? He will serve those who serve him. Do you get the picture here? The servants are ready to serve their master. The master comes back, and the master says, no, you guys sit down, and I'm going to serve you. And that just blow your mind? It's a picture of the amazing grace of God. We don't deserve anything God has done for us. He's done it by because of his love for us and his grace that he's extended to us. But for us to think that somehow God is going to serve us is just remarkable. And yet that's what Jesus says, to serve us. It reminds us on the night before Jesus was crucified, and he was with his disciples, a whole bunch of guys sitting around the table with dirty feet. And Jesus took off his outer garment, put a towel around his waist, and knelt down and cleaned every single pair of those dirty feet. The master serving his servants. The king serving his subjects. The creator serving his creations. The amazing grace of God. You know, they say this thing happens in heaven in Revelation chapter 19. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's a picture, if you will, of God serving us, God taking care of us. I'm pretty excited to think that there's food there. That's cool. It's going to be really good. God taking care of us. He will serve us. It's an amazing picture of this completely grace of God that we can't understand, that he would give us so much and then much more. You know, at this point in the story, when Jesus is telling the story, Peter jumps up and says, Jesus, are you telling this for us or for everybody? And Jesus, in his true Jesus-like fashion, doesn't answer Peter. Tells him another story. He tells him a story about a master who leaves his servants, and he comes back and finds them, some of them being faithful and some of them not. And it's to illustrate that we'll be held accountable when Jesus returns, our master. Romans 14:12 says each of us will give an account of himself to God. In this story, there's a contrast between faithful stewardship and unfaithful. Faithful stewardship. Here we live with Christ as our master. Christ is our master, our Lord. We serve him. The possessions are his. The servants are his. We are his. We live as Christ is our master. And Jesus said, it'll be good for that servant when I come back, if they're living that way. We live in order to do God's will. When the master left, he gave them clear instructions of what you need to do while I'm gone. Jesus said, it's going to be good for that servant if I come back and I find they're doing what I told them to do. And so it's good for us when he returns if we're doing what he tells us to do. And also, we are rewarded with future opportunities. The servant, the master, says, now that you've been faithful, I'm going to make you in charge of all my possessions. He gave him more responsibility, more opportunities. In Matthew 25, Jesus says a similar thing. You've been faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. You know, there is a joy in serving God. And it appears that part of our reward in serving God is opportunities to serve him more. More responsibility. More things to do to serve God. I believe when we get to heaven, you know, heaven's not just going to be a glorified vacation. I believe we're going to serve God. And I believe we're going to love it. Unlike sometimes people complain, you know, when they do things here. Never here, of course. But it happens some places in the world, I've heard. You know, in heaven, we're going to love serving the Lord. It's going to be what we want to do. We'll be given more opportunities. Now, there are also unfaithful stewards in this story. Unfaithful servants put off serving Jesus. This one servant says, well, he isn't coming back. It's been so long. I'm just going to do my own thing. And Jesus says that man is going to be in trouble when the master finds that he has put off. It's one of the things that we hear today sometimes when we talk about the second coming of Christ. People say, well, it's been so long. There's been so many predictions. He must not be coming. Or not right away. It's way out there. We can't expect him any moment. It's one of the favorite tools of the enemy is to convince us that there's plenty of time. Just wait. Wait to be a person of prayer. Wait to really know Christ intimately. Wait to start serving Christ. Wait, wait, wait. We think there's plenty of time. That's what the devil tells us. We need to be ready right now for the Lord's return, not put it off. Unfaithful servants ignore doing God's will. Instead of doing the master's will, they do their will. And the servant in the story actually starts mistreating the servants he's in charge of. And it's not going to be good for that person when the master shows up. In these examples, we find that unfaithful servants receive appropriate judgment. Three different kinds of punishments mentioned here. They're kind of strange, if you will. In the first one, they are cut into pieces. That doesn't sound very fun. Then beaten with many blows or beaten with few blows. None of those sound fun to me. But it appears to me that Jesus is using an illustration here that the people in that day would understand, not to be taken absolutely literally, because it'd be like us you know, when we say my sports team slaughtered your sports team, we didn't mean my sports team went and killed all those players. We meant they beat them. So in Jesus' day, they had those same kind of phrases that were used as warnings to say something bad has happened or something good has happened. King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, when he was warning Daniel in Daniel chapter 2 and the wise men, he told them, you guys are going to interpret my dream or I'm going to cut you into pieces. It was a common phrase in the Eastern world to say something bad's going to happen to you. And Jesus uses this. For us, you know, it's kind of a struggle to figure out, what does this mean to us? It could mean that our hearts are cut in the sense that we have a divided loyalty. And if we aren't faithful to serve Christ, our hearts are going to be cut and there's going to be this conviction, there's going to be a sense of loss and remorse for what we haven't done. I don't know exactly what it means, but there is judgment for those that are not faithful, and it is appropriate for whatever that person did. Jesus said, whoever has been given much, much will be demanded, and for the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And when I read that, it seems to me that that applies to us. Haven't we been given much? Haven't we been given much? And so much is expected of us. That includes our resources, our time, our talents, our abilities. We've been given so much. We need to invest them in the kingdom of God. Use them for God's kingdom. And Jesus said, for that kind of servant, it's going to be good when I come. It's going to be good. For those that are unfaithful, it's not going to be so good. There's a warning here and a challenge. You don't want to miss out on anything that God wants to do in and through your life while you're here. Time in this life goes by so fast, doesn't it? We don't want to miss out on what God wants to do in and through us. So we need to give it our all before he comes back. And we don't know when he's coming back. Could be today. Could be a while yet. We don't know. But we need to be ready. Faithfully serving Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ is our Savior. And then when he comes back, it's going to be awesome. So my closing question is this. Are you ready? Let's sing a song together in worship this morning as we close our time of worship. And this is really a kind of a celebration song that we're singing, but it's celebrating that day when we will be with the Lord, that day, you know, that we'll be with him when he returns. And it's a celebration song, but even as we celebrate, if you need to pray, the altar is open. It's a place where you can come and pray. If someone needs to come pray about anything, you can come and talk to the Lord, and we can give that to him. Let's stand together and sing this great song and gather for prayer if you'd like.